Hi, everyone. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
Authors of See You at the Campground, a guide to discovering community, connection, and a happier family in the great outdoors.
10 years ago, we bought a pop-up camper that changed our lives and introduced us to the joys of RV travel.
Join us now as we talk about where to camp, what gear to bring, and the best food to cook.
We'll also keep you dialed in with the latest RV innovations for people in the know.
Pull up a chair and join us around the digital campfire.
This is the RV Atlas. Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of the RV Atlas. Today, I had kind of this really unique idea to do a podcast all about my own picks and opinions and thoughts and updates on things that I'm doing.
You ripped me off, let's be honest.
It's
you're like, I want me.
A total ripoff.
I have opinions.
It's like the way the Rolling Stones ripped off the Beatles, but then eventually they became their own thing. And actually, one of my topics today involves like a famous ripoff situation.
Wait, are you eventually going to become your own thing?
Oh,
is that the path we're on?
All right, podcast is over. 6 years, we're okay. Done. I'm walking away. There is a symbiotic relationship here that is, something that you would like to move past a little bit. But let's take these issues.
I call us the two-headed monster.
We got a review on iTunes recently that was titled "Marital Issues?" ? And then the person complained, "I don't want to hear about your COVID parenting problems."
Oh, okay. Well, there's an easy solution to that.
Thank God we have
turn off the podcast.
Well, I have another solution too. Thank God there's 500 other podcasts you can listen to that we've made.
True. Sorry, we made a misstep.
So listen, I am going to talk today about a new pair of outdoor shoes I love. I'm going to talk about Arctic coolers versus Yeti coolers. I'm going to give you an update on some RV and camping stuff that I'm writing. And there's even more podcasting goodness coming up. But before we dive into all that, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Thetford.
AquaBio is a new twist on holding tank treatments, and it offers today's RVers a formaldehyde and bromopol-free formula. So Thetford's next generation of holding tank solutions is campground-friendly, and it complies with California's regulations, which,
so hard
not
to do.
Surprisingly.
I don't comply with California regulations.
Very few people do, and these do. So this is obviously the highest of compliance standards.
So if you're in Michigan or New Jersey, you can feel really good about buying it.
And you can go to California with your RV and be just fine, and it's okay.
You won't get arrested.
All right, the quick-acting holding tank treatment eliminates odors while digesting waste and toilet paper to prevent clogging, all without any harsh chemicals. And of course, it's made in the USA. So Thetford's new AquaBio is formulated and tested safe for all RV and marine toilets, holding tanks, and septic systems. You can get liquid, toss-ins, and dry options. We always get toss-ins. It's just the way we roll.
We have the liquid, yeah, but I use the toss-ins.
Visit Thetford.com for more information.
The reason I get the toss-ins is because you don't ever waste any. When you get the bottle, sometimes I don't want to dump the whole bottle in, but that's just me.
All right. So can I just say that not only did you rip off like my idea, like I'm like, I'll do an episode with just like random thoughts and opinions about things. You're like, okay, I will too. But you actually ripped off my random like thoughts and opinions. Like your first item is your new shoes. Like, are you serious?
It is so funny that my longest topic today is on Arctic versus Yeti, and that's like this famous ripoff thing. So I'm going to start with my new shoes. And actually, Stephanie, I would rarely talk about a new pair of shoes, but I am so beyond in love with these shoes. And I really want to just share with everybody.
All right. So, you're Keens, but you've had like a love-hate relationship with Keens. So I wasn't thrilled with you buying a new pair. So you can explain this.
Okay. So over the years, I buy a new pair of Keen sandals, I would say every 2 years. I get the Keen Newport H2s. They're very comfortable. I have a somewhat wide foot, and they fit my feet. Now, Keen always claims, these are waterproof or water resistant, and you can use them in the water, you can use them in the river. And over the years, what I've discovered is you can, but in a kind of limited way. Like if you actually take your Keen Newport sandals and fully submerge them in a river for an hour, they will possibly fall apart because I've had them fall apart. But they're comfortable, they fit, they can get wet and then dry and be okay. But this summer, Keen released a new line of sandals, and they're called the Keen Solars, S-O-L-R. And this one, they are saying, like, this
is... Oh, it stands for something, huh?
It stands for ocean...
No, sea, ocean, lake, river.
Sea, ocean, lake, river.
Crafty Keen, yeah.
Basically, what they're saying is this. These are totally built to be submerged in water for whatever you're doing, for whatever period of time. And that's kind of what I've always wanted out of my Keens. So they describe them this way. All terrain is great, but this time we went all in on water. Solar, sea, ocean, lake, river is a high-performance men's water shoe with serious amphibious grip and webbing made from recycled plastic bottles. And so I bought these in Lake Placid. And then I proceeded to use, I've been using them all summer. I used them in the Au Sable River, and they were fully submerged in the river for hours at a time, and they come out like they're brand new. Like, these are truly a waterproof sandal that you can wear SUPing, kayaking, cliff jumping like we were. They're also super comfortable. They come in nice colors. And I absolutely love them. I've been wearing them all summer long. And the only caveat I would say about these is if they get wet and you walk onto like a linoleum floor or a plastic floor into a store, they are squeaky. And my old Keens were never like that. So these are not necessarily as good for like wear around town.
But well, when they're dry, they might be. When they're dry, true. Do they squeaky?
No, they don't.
So you just have to avoid walking into places with sopping wet Keens.
Okay. So if you...
well, good tip.
We went into Lake Placid on a rainy day. They got a little wet. I walked into a store and squeaked.
And you were squeaky.
I'm just telling people no.
Yeah, I know. Okay, so you'll squeak maybe if they get wet. All right, that's a good tip. All right, you ready to move on to your new hobby?
Yeah, and I think that it's really important in life, particularly as you get into middle age and as you get a little older, to pick up new hobbies, to not get stale as a person. And I'm not saying like I'm the best at that necessarily, but I do try to pick up new hobbies.
The next review is going to be titled Personal Issues.
Well,
therapy issues? Don't get stale as a person.
Our podcast has never just been about RV reviews, okay? We cover the whole lifestyle here. So I have a new hobby, and it goes really well with the camping lifestyle, the RVing lifestyle. And I just kind of woke up the other day and realized, like, man, I'm actually passionate about this hobby, and I feel like I'm going to be doing this for many years to come. So I've been SUPing. All right. And we have as a family, we bought two SUPs used from my cousin who has a rental business. And the first year or so, we used them a bit, but now we're really using them more. And I want to say this to our listeners. Like, a lot of you might look at an SUP, it's a stand-up paddleboard, right? It looks like a bigger surfboard, and you stand on it and you paddle, okay? And you go into a river, you could do it in the ocean if it's calm. People even go as crazy as riding waves on them. I think a lot of people who aren't super athletic might look at that and go, oh, that's hard, I can't do that. And what I want our listeners to know is all of you can do this, all right? It's easier than it looks, and it also happens to be an incredible workout. But here's the secret to doing this, particularly if you're not that person that just dives in and can do any kind of sport. If you rent an SUP or buy an SUP that is too small for you, you will just fall all the time. You have to, if you are in any way taller, heftier, larger, stronger, wider, you need...
Husky,
as it were. You need to get a board that kind of matches your size. So remember when we rented...
Well, the bigger, let's just be quite frank, the larger... The board is, the easier it is to balance.
100%.
All right, it gives you more...
Less wobble.
Yeah, exactly. So
we rented SUPs years ago on our RV trip to Traverse City, and we rented smaller ones. And I fell every 5 seconds, and you guys were laughing at me all day. And then I kind of didn't try again. But then my cousin was like, oh, you just need a larger board. So if you are interested in picking up a new hobby that goes well with your camping, RVing lifestyle... Check out SUPing. Now, you also can get inflatable SUPs, but I've never tried one, and I can't vouch for them myself.
Yeah, and plenty of people love their inflatable kayaks or SUPs, and I highly recommend that if this is something that you're not going to use a lot at home too, and you want something that you can easily carry in a smaller RV or tow vehicle. I also recommend, you know, like baby walking this out. Like, don't go out and buy brand new. You don't have to.
I recommend getting them used from the rental places.
Yeah, get them used. People, these are things that people buy, don't use, sell, they flip, or just rent them when you travel a few times and see if it's something that you really enjoy. So this is just something that you can baby step a little bit.
All right. So now, Steph, are you ready to take a deep dive into the competitive world of roto-moded coolers and talk about Arctic and Yeti?
I'm here under duress, but...
A lot of people are interested. All right. Before we dive in, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco.
There are a few lessons that RVers learn quickly. Things aren't always easy. There's always some work to be done and a helping hand to be shared. A little dirt never hurt, and the forecast doesn't always cooperate. But the most important thing that RVers ever learn, a bit of resilience goes a long way. So let's lead the charge back together. RVers were built for this. Jayco was built for this. To find out more, visit jayco.com/builtforthis for comeback-related news and advice.
Okay, let's start with Yeti. Now, I think it's fair to say, Stephanie, you would never in your life buy a Yeti product.
Nope.
Okay.
No.
Not your thing. So a little history. Yeti's an Austin-based company founded by two brothers, and I think they're twin brothers, who both grew up in the outdoors in Texas, and they got sick of cheap coolers that would break and not really hold their ice all day in the Texas heat. So they decided, well, we're going to make a better cooler, basically. So they started the company. The company took off. Incredible success, incredible branding, incredible marketing. They eventually went public, okay, had an IPO. And now in 2019, they had revenue of $913 million. This is a powerhouse of a company. They're really famous for their Tundra coolers. Now, these are the coolers that can run anywhere from $250 to $1,200, right? I mean, these are expensive roto-molded coolers. And they are – any roto-molded cooler is in a class above your traditional cooler that has multiple pieces. It's just going to hold ice longer. Now, shockingly, Yeti now makes more money on their drinkware than their coolers. So their tumblers, coffee cups, all of that stuff is making them more money than the coolers. And I think the insight here is that more people are willing to buy a $35 tumbler than a $400 cooler.
Shocking,
right?
I know.
Well, it's a more accessible price point.
I also think that there's a fair point to be had that a lot of companies have introduced competing coolers that kind of perform relatively closely for a much lower price point.
Well,
like namely our Cabela's coolers, that we don't have to pay that amount of money
for. Cabela's coolers are great. And then there's a whole other brand called Arctic that kind of knocked off Yeti. But let me get to that in 1 second. I think that people with Yeti, people have violent opinions. Like people fight online all the time about this on Facebook.
We have kicked people. This happened a while ago. We had to kick people out because what happened is this was a while ago, but like somebody will post, oh, what is a good cooler? And instead of just listening to different people's opinions about the various different ones, like people would get angry at other people for recommending Yeti like they were dummies.
I know.
Who burn their money.
It's crazy. And that's
like, you're stupid.
No, and that's what happens is that the Arctic people or the Cabela's coolers people or people that just don't buy those type of coolers in general, they actually are angry at you that you spend money on Yeti. There's a weird psychology to that. So then the question comes, well, is Yeti overpriced? I mean, are you getting something that is that superior or is it really overpriced? I think the answer is clear. And I've been buying some of this stuff, okay? I think Yeti makes amazing products that are overpriced. And I think that Yeti falls into the category of what's called a Veblen good. Now, I taught my students
this. Hey, what's a Veblen good?
A Veblen good is a product that actually sells more because of its high price point than if it had a lower price point, because it creates an aura of exclusivity.
It becomes a status symbol.
It's a status symbol. Yeah. You're joining a club, getting in. You feel like you're getting something special. And frankly, I feel like Yeti is a Veblen good, and I feel like that's fine. If you want to buy into that, that's fine, and I'd buy into it. And you're not just paying for the cooler. You're paying for their brand ambassadors. You're paying for their marketing. You're paying for all these videos they do. They do like little mini movies. They actually create a lot of great outdoors content that's free. And that has to get paid for, right? I mean, that's expensive stuff to make.
That's a lifestyle brand.
It's a lifestyle brand.
All of a sudden,
brand.
You're, you know, going into the category of a lifestyle brand.
I watched a video with a professional surfer named Keith Malloy, who I've admired since I was a little kid. And he's chopping firewood, putting it into his $150 Yeti bag, right? And then he goes surfing with his son, and he's ripping up these beautiful California waves.
And they're totally connected. Like, he has that lifestyle because of his Yeti tote bag.
And I'm watching this and I'm thinking, I helped pay for this video because I bought some Yeti stuff, basically. Now, I had the true experience of the Yeti Veblen Good, the Yeti exclusive club. Now, recently, I sold a bunch of stuff in the garage. And I bought a Yeti backpack cooler.
Because you can't help yourself. Everybody talks about something. You're like, I got to know.
I also didn't want to have to drag a real cooler down onto the beach. And the backpack cooler seemed like a good idea. Now, if I told, I'm not even going to say how much it cost. Yeah, Stephanie would throw a microphone at me.
But I have no idea.
But I sold a bunch of stuff in the garage. I purged a bunch of stuff in the garage. I was like, okay, I'm going to get one nice thing. So I got this Yeti backpack cooler. It's the backflip something or other. It was expensive. I brought it to Max and Theo's Little League tournament, okay? I wore it down, brought it down to the field. I got five comments.
Jeez.
Five comments. A man walked over.
You were a status symbol. You were a living, breathing status symbol.
To this. This exactly proves the point of the Veblen Good and the club. A man walked from the other side of the baseball field over to me, complimented my Yeti backpack, and said, oh, I did their IPO.
And suddenly that gave him some sort of status.
Yeah.
He was a banker. What an insane thing to say to somebody.
He was a banker that did their IP, and he wanted me to know that.
Yeah. He came over to give you his resume.
I was part of his club just for that moment.
Good job, buddy.
Okay. Now enter.
He's your buddy.
Enter, and I am not criticizing anybody that buys Yeti stuff. I've bought Yeti stuff.
I'm drinking out of a Yeti coffee cup,
which is one of the best products I've ever bought. Did it cost $10 more than it probably should have? Yes. Okay. But either way, and no one out there think I'm being judgmental because I'm not. Now enter Arctic Coolers, another Texas-based company, also founded by two brothers. They started out with a company called Cheap Cheap Moving Boxes, and they really kind of mastered, it was this very successful business.
Yeah.
And they mastered shipping large items. So they saw that there was a place for them to enter the marketplace for high-end coolers because they saw Yeti charging so much. They basically said, we can make the same products or close to the same products at a way lower price.
And they're going to get another version of the market that doesn't want the status but wants the deal, right?
And is going to
be proud of themselves for having the same quality at a lower price point.
As an example, the Yeti Tundra 45 quart cooler I think is $299. The equivalent Arctic 45 quart cooler, and they're not exactly the same size but they're super close, $199. So you're saving $100, okay? Now, my Yeti coffee cup I'm drinking from right now, $25. An Arctic coffee cup is $12.99. It's half the price. So in some cases, Arctic is half the price as Yeti. Now, how do they do this? They do not hire expensive ambassadors. They don't film expensive commercials. They don't sell their products in Dick's or Bass Pro Shops. It's direct to consumer. Arctic is not in stores except their own store in Texas.
I didn't realize that. That's so funny. I never realized that they weren't in stores. Huh.
Their whole model is different, and they save money that way. And they say the coolers are the same quality. Now, if you go watch 100 YouTube videos comparing them, some people, the Yeti's a little bit better. But if you need ice to last 9 days instead of 8 days, we'll go buy the Yeti. But most of us don't need ice to last that long, right? So an Arctic, if it's close to as good, you're saving a lot of money, right? So I think they also have this great brand with this entirely different model. And like I said, they don't hire the high-end ambassadors. They are now just working with sort of medium level social media people, having them post pictures, just an entirely different strategy. I love the competition between the two companies. I think it's good for the consumer, though Arctic did get sued and they had to pay Yeti an undisclosed sum. and they had to change the design of their products. So now all their products are a little bit different.
A little different.
A little bit different.
But still cheaper. All right.
So look, if you want to save money, buy Arctic. If you want to be part of the Yeti Lifestyle Club, buy Yeti.
Those are your two choices. Buy both like you, and you
buy
can
both like me.
Play both sides of the field.
I'm not so territorial. Okay, so we're not done. I have a rant after we come back, and I have an update on some different projects I've been working on and some things I've been writing. But before we dive into that, we have a sponsored message from our friends at RV SnapPad. Meet the world's only permanent jack pad. RV SnapPads attach permanently to your RV leveling jack, so you don't have to carry around blocks of wood or plastic blocks to level your RV or motorhome. Simply snap them on one time and you're all set. I used to carry around four different pads, and I'd have to put them under the RV.
And you make your children. I'd like you to adjust the language of this to represent the fact that that was a child's job.
I used to yell at my kids and make my kids put them under the jacks.
I used to holler at my kids.
But now with RV snap pads, I have permanently mounted rock-solid jack pads wherever I roam. All right, so to find out more, visit rvsnappad.com. They are actually sold out right now because of COVID-related supply chain issues. They will be back in stock soon. Check out their website. Check them out on social media. It really is a great product. Love having them.
All right. So you have a rant. It's interesting how this so closely follows
it's an exact novel. So are you going to sue me for an undisclosed sum?
Maybe.
Are you going to make me change my methods and my designs?
You may have to stop buying.
Don't you get that I did this on purpose because of the Arctic Yeti thing? I thought, well, let me do a knockoff.
You're
and say how everybody.
Okay.
And it's just going to be just
That's
as
very meta.
It's going to be just as good or close. So here's my rant. My rant is about territorialism by veteran RV owners and treating new RV owners like they're a nuisance and they're getting in the way and taking up all the sites. I am really opposed to people being territorial and people saying, oh, these new RV owners are ruining camping. I can't get a site. Okay, campgrounds are crowded. Campgrounds were getting crowded pre-COVID, by the way.
And people were cranky about it then, too.
This is not just the people buying RVs this summer because of COVID, frankly.
We actually have a friend who, I won't say his name, but he's in the RV industry and has been for decades. And he is actually the living, breathing version of the cranky RVer that we've talked about.
Yes.
And we love him to death, but he is the cranky RVer. And he's been RVing and camping for decades. And he is just always like, it's not what it used to be. You used to be able to just show up wherever you want, and now you can't get in, you know. So, I mean, this is something that over the last decade
has been
brewing, and I think it exploded this year.
This put a punctuation mark on this issue. Now, yes, it is harder to get sites right now, but I do think that more campgrounds will be built. That doesn't happen overnight, though. I think it's going to take some time. I also think that the Great American Outdoors Act, if it is fully passed and signed into law, will help us get some new campgrounds in public areas and also fix up some of the old campgrounds. That will take some time, but I do believe that free markets work, and where there is a demand, increased supply will eventually happen.
Well, and the part about free markets that people don't like is that with supply and demand, yes, you might have to pay more. Right? Like, it's more of a premium product. People want to do this thing. Maybe it used to fly under the radar a little bit. So you used to be able to take your RV and go somewhere and pay $17 a night or $25 a night.
But you used to also be able to go to Holiday Inn for
$40
exactly. a night.
Exactly. It's weird how people expect camping
to stay the same price forever.
To stay the same.
Because state parks do.
Yeah.
And that's the reason they're underfunded.
Because everybody says they love the free market, but then they love our subsidized public park system.
If you think that you are
which
paying,
is it, folks?
If you are going to a state or county park for $20 a night and you think you are paying the full
the
price
value.
That matches their operation, you are incorrect.
My tax dollars are paying for your camping experience.
And so people, and so people get annoyed when the price goes up at a private campground.
Yeah.
But that's not really my main reason that I'm opposed to territorialism.
Oh, you didn't
want to
have
an
economics discussion?
Well, that's not the main reason. We started now a decade ago camping with our little boys who we would bring to our twin one-year-old boys in our pop-up camper. We'd bring them to the campground. They were rambunctious. They were loud. They ran around. Yeah, they behaved and played by the rules mostly. But we were welcomed again and again and again by veteran RV owners. I never one time had someone treat us like, oh, it's that loud new family that just bought a pop-up camper.
In fact, it was almost the opposite. There were so many times when, you know, more like maybe retirees at a campground would walk over and introduce themselves to us in like a friendly, like, hey, hey, neighbor way. And they would specifically tell us that seeing us reminded them of themselves 30 years ago, right? That they remembered having that moment and they loved seeing this cycle of life repeat itself. Like they were happy to see new families at the campground.
It was a welcome to the club,
yeah.
Not, hey, you're taking our spaces.
Yeah.
And that meant the world to me as a new RV owner. And I think that there was wisdom from those veteran RVers at that time that they wanted that life cycle to regenerate and they wanted interest in their lifestyle to keep it going. I have to say, new people revitalize a hobby. They revitalize an interest. It will lead to new campgrounds. It will lead to
funding.
Better facilities. And it will lead to more funding.
If it's
and
more it will, of a part of our lifestyle as a country.
As a young man, my major hobby was bodyboarding, which was like a version of surfing. Eventually, people lost interest. And the entire industry went through death throes. And they barely survived. So new people coming into something keeps it alive for all of us. And I'm thrilled there's all these new RV owners out there, frankly. And I personally might have a little bit of a harder time getting a site. I don't care.
All right. Well, welcome
so that's
you
my
to
rant.
The campground. There's your rant.
Steffi and I are going to welcome you to the campground. Okay. So I just also wanted to give a quick update on a couple articles that I've been writing lately. If you want to go read them, that would be great. So I'm doing a blog series for Jayco this summer. And it's at the Jayco Journal on their blog. And there's three posts up already. One has tips for traveling in the age of coronavirus, which could be really helpful if you're planning trips this summer and this fall. Another one was about great activities for social distancing, some things you could do to get outside and not be around crowds.
Like SUPing.
Like SUPing.
It's time to start a new hobby.
I think I actually mentioned that one, and hiking and things like that. And then also, the first one I did in the series I think could be really useful to any new RV owners out there. It breaks down all the different types of campgrounds. So as you're trying to figure out how to book campgrounds, what types of campgrounds you like, this blog post on the Jayco Journal explains like state parks, county parks, Corps of Engineers, Jellystone, KOA, breaks down all the different options with some pros and cons of each one. So it'd be very helpful to all the newbies out there listening.
One of the biggest missteps, right, that people have when they first start RVing is the campground selection, because it's really hard to kind of dig in and figure out what the sitch is there.
It is. I think it really confuses people, and it takes a while to figure out what you like.
Yep.
I think that we accidentally, when we first bought the pop-up camper, we accidentally quickly figured out what we liked.
Yeah.
Because you booked the state park.
This, not that.
Well, you booked the state park that was a little bit of a party place, but we didn't know, whatever.
Ugh,
and then
Jersey
2 weeks
park.
Later, you booked Seashore Campsites, which was a resort with a pool and all that stuff. And we were both like at that point with our one-year-old kids, we were like, oh, this is what we like.
Oh my gosh. It was heaven. All the playgrounds and the
but
ice
that
cream
wasn't like a strat. It was
we had a
coupon booklet.
I was like in coupon mode. Like I've got to buy one get one free
and
night.
The resources weren't out there then.
No,
our
it's a whole different world. Yeah, I had a coupon book.
And our next book. Okay, we have See You at the Campground is out right now, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Global bestseller. It's like selling in every country on the globe. Our next book, scheduled for March 2021, our publisher listed it on Amazon, so we went ahead and announced it. It's called Where Should We Camp Next? And it's a 50-state guide to
It'll
best campgrounds in the country.
Better than my coupon book was. A
It'll
nice
be a
way,
great way
to dive in and be like, oh, let me try this and this and this. Like, it's like you can't go wrong with these
and it's our personal recommendations of places we've gone and recommendations from our community at the
RV
Atlas
have been on
group,
the podcast,
our correspondents.
Yeah.
And you can pre-order that book now.
You can. It'll be a little while to get
and
it.
And some of you are saying, well, why would I pre-order it? Because you'd be doing us a solid.
You might forget that you ordered it by the time it comes around, but you can go on Amazon and find that. So,
yeah.
All right, everybody. Well, you know, you've got my version of my tips and opinions, and then you've got the rip-off version today, and I guess you can do your own.
The problem with this whole analogy is that like my episode is not like cheaper than yours or something. There really is no price point
difference. There's no price point.
But we'll do a poll in our Facebook group. Which one did you like better?
Are we really going to do that?
Oh my God, that would be so
probably
tacky.
Probably a bad idea.
That would be so tacky.
All right, everybody. We'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.
A big thank you for listening to this episode of the RV Atlas.
and a big thank you to our sponsors. They provide great quality products and resources for RVers and also support the production of this show. We personally believe in them and are happy to share our favorite products with you.
You can find blog posts and links with everything mentioned in this episode over at thervatlas.com.
And you can join the friendliest group of RVers over on Facebook in our private RV Atlas group.
And as always, we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.